Well, hello, everybody. Let's just pray before we start. Lord God, Heavenly Father, help me now by your Spirit that we may understand what you have to say to us now. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, you know, I'm certain that the year 2020 will be etched in our memories for a long time, a very long time. It's been an awful time, a time of great loss and difficulty for many people. But there is something that is quite common to all of us. Meeting together has been put on hold. Quite cruelly, COVID-19 pandemic has stopped us meeting face to face without any restrictions. Well, you may be familiar with the saying that you don't know what you've got till it's gone. And I know that I probably didn't value the relationships and fellowship that I had with other people before we had the COVID-19. But now I really do miss the love, companionship and fellowship that I had with other people. Most people now understand that the important things in life are not things at all. It's more about the relationships we have with each other. These are the important things. And God has put that desire for relationships in all of us. Yes, some of us might find it difficult because we're not all the same. We might have difficulty in making relationships, yet God has put that into our hearts that we want to be with one another and meet with one another. But above all, he wants a relationship with his creation, human beings, you and me. And John in this letter tells us more about the amazing relationship that we can have with our Creator God and the relationship we can have in Christ with one another. So, it starts off in verse 5. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. Straight away, we see the authority of the message. This is God's message that John now reveals to us. John declares straight away that what God is like. God is light and there is no darkness in him at all. It doesn't say that God is in the light. It says God is light. Just last week on Saturday, we were walking on the beach at Pakefield, walking southward towards Kessingland. And as we looked to the south, it was absolutely wonderful, beautiful. The sun was quite low in the sky, but it was a blue sky, very cold. But it was sparkling over the water. It was white, sparkling there, brilliant sunshine, and it was dazzling. And that reminded me of what was said in the Old Testament about God, that if we were looked upon the face of God, his glory, that light that God is, we would surely die. So what John is talking about here is the very character of God when he talks about God being a light. It's about his absolute purity of righteousness, his holiness. He's the very essence of perfect love. The problem is God is light, but we are in the darkness. There's a huge gulf between us. We call that gulf sin. There's a monumental problem then with our attempts at having any sort of relationship or fellowship with God. John says that if we say we have fellowship with him and we walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. Many people have tried to reach out to God, to have a relationship with God through intellectual study, through philosophical study, through scientific investigation, by trying to do good things, by seeking spiritual enlightenment or leading a spiritual life. But it's not possible. We can't do that. John here speaks about walking in darkness. This is a pattern of living. It's not just about the occasional lapse. It's a lifestyle of living in darkness, a lifestyle of sin. God has no darkness at all. He is light. So how can anyone who is in the darkness reach out to God? And then verse 7, John says, but if we walk in the light, he is in the light. God is in the light, so if we do walk in the light, we can have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from sin. I suppose walking in the light, we could say, means trying to live a life in obedience to God, following Jesus in the power of the Holy Spirit. John's message here shows us that it means that a walk in the light is possible. But then we know that in this world, in other words, this side of eternity, sinless perfection is impossible. So the Christian life is described as walking, first of all, which obviously means being active. It's not a static or passive thing. Walking implies action, continuity, progress, going on to the goal. When we walk in the light and God is light, well then, therefore, we walk where he is. We are then in fellowship together with him. So it's also clear that we have fellowship with one another as we walk in the light. John says that all Christians who walk in the light will enjoy this special fellowship with each other. But it does lead to an important thought or question. If there is division or breakdown in the relationship between Christians, well, it must imply that one or more of them is not walking in the light at that moment. So it obviously needs to be sorted out. Christians who are in a right relationship with God will also be in a right relationship with one another. But then sin gets in the way. So how are we able to walk in the light, since we know we will all sin? Verse 7 again, and the second part of that verse is the key text here. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from sin. As we walk in the light, we also enjoy the continual cleansing of Jesus. It's a continual, ongoing thing. It's a process, because the Bible says that we continually sin and fall short of the glory of God. That's in Romans 3:23. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, we have been washed clean. And we will be washed clean today and tomorrow and forever. This continual cleansing we receive is ours by the blood of Jesus, the Christ, the Son of God. Thinking a bit more about this, it's about his literal death in our place, and also the literal suffering of the wrath and judgment of the Father. At this time on the cross, Jesus' relationship, this fellowship of his love that he's known from eternity with the Father and the Spirit, is broken. The word blood is more specific than the word death would be, for blood points to sacrifice and suffering. Jesus Christ paid the penalty for all sins, past, present, and future. Suffering work of Jesus not only deals with the guilt of sin that would send us to hell, but also deals with the stain of sin, which needs cleansing continually. And this gets in the way of our continued relationship with God. Spurgeon sums it up quite clearly. Spurgeon, the theologian, he says this: does my walking in the light take away my sins? Not at all. As much a sinner in the light as in the darkness, if it were possible for me to be in the light without being washed in the blood. But then we have fellowship with God. And does not having fellowship with God take away sin? Beloved, do not misunderstand me. No man can have fellowship with God unless his sin be taken away. But this fellowship with God and his walking in the light does not take away his sin, not at all. The whole process of removal of sin is here. The blood of Jesus cleanses us from sin. The words of Spurgeon. So all sin, even that tiny sin, the big sin, even those bad thoughts, in any time, anywhere, they are all washed clean. But we need to acknowledge that sin. We need to ask forgiveness. And in verses 8 to 10, we see what we know as the prayer of confession. It leads us into that confession as well. Do you know, in Luke 18, and verse 10, 14, we have this narrative where the Pharisee and the tax collector go up to the temple to pray. And the Pharisee, he was a proud man, and he bragged about how righteous he was before God. While the tax collector simply said this, because he knew his sin, and he said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. We have always been confessing our sins as Christians. At the point of baptism, we're confessing our sins by saying that we need to be cleansed and reborn. When we receive communion, we confess our sins by saying that we need the saving work of Jesus on the cross to take our sins away. We use the prayer of confession in our corporate worship to ask for forgiveness. And we ask for forgiveness in our own personal prayers. But then our sins are not forgiven just because we confess. If we were only forgiven each time we confessed, then we would fail, we'd be damned, because it would be impossible for us to confess every sin we ever commit. We are only forgiven through the suffering of Jesus and the cleansing of his blood. However, asking forgiveness, saying sorry, is always a vital thing to do, to keep the relationship with God. We know that in our own relationships, our own personal relationships, that when we've done things that are wrong, we need to say sorry. Sometimes that's difficult, but we need to do it to restore the relationship. But right at the end of this text, we have these words that are really of great comfort. We know we can trust God. He is light. He's righteous and holy and the whole essence of love. And it says he is faithful and just to forgive us. This is what he will do. And in chapter 2, John continues, but he makes it clear that he says these things that we may not sin. John makes it clear that sin is a fact of life, even for the Christian believer. But there is always forgiveness when the believer confesses sins. So we mustn't take it for granted. He stresses that the Christian should be concerned about their own personal sin. We shouldn't be overly worried, though, or feel guilty, because God knows who we are, what we're like. And we are forgiven by his blood. But God doesn't want us to fall into sin, as this clouds our relationship with him. The Bible tells us that our weakness comes in our flesh, which is not always willing to submit to the Spirit and trust in the victory that we can have over sin through the grace and mercy of Jesus. One day, we will know this for certain, because God promises that our fleshly nature will be perfected for eternity through a new resurrection body. But this is a battle as well, a battle of sin. It's a spiritual battle that involves the work of Satan. And this is why we need an advocate. John talks here about us having the advocate, who is Jesus himself. We see this in Revelation 12, verse 10, that we need an advocate who can legally defend us, because Satan accuses us of our sin before God. And Jesus, he's the one who suffered. He's the one who is righteous and holy. He is the Lord. He is the perfect advocate to represent us. So in summary then, as we move into 2021, still under tight COVID restrictions, we can be certain that we have a loving Father God. If we put our trust in Jesus, if we follow Jesus and walk with him by the power of the Spirit, our sins are forgiven, and we have the joy of an eternal fellowship with our Heavenly Father and an eternal relationship with Jesus the Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. One day we will see each other face to face with no restrictions. One day we will see Jesus face to face with no restrictions, with a new resurrection body. Amen. Amen.